The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
And so it's time to look at the sports books of the year. All this week we're going to be looking at the best books that you might consider buying for Christmas, and we're starting this week with sports. And we have Niamh Briggs, Irish rugby captain, and Paul Kimmage, who of course you've met many times on the programme this week, sports writer with the Sunday Independent. I'm going to start with you, Niamh. As a player, what do you look for in a sports book?
I think it's changed over the years. I think when I started, like, I've always been absolutely obsessed with sports books. Anything time they came out, especially this time of year, I'd never really wait for Christmas. I'd be buying them straight away. And I used to always love to know what it took to get people to the top. And then I slowly and then very quickly realised as I started reading the books that very little was given away in most of them.
The cynic and Paul is laughing already.
And now you look for something different.
What do you look for?
I don't want to read about the matches that were happening on during the year and blow by blow. I watch them, I understand. I want to understand the emotion around it, how they felt before, you know, on the winning or the losing side. Like this year's book for me, Philly McMahon's book, was brilliant only because it was so different. It was very little about the football.
And I'll get to that as well, because that's one that I have read as well and loved. But you know, when you go across all sports, it's not just rugby. You would read across a whole range
everything,
of sports.
Yeah. I just want to, you're always trying to pick in little pieces. For me, when you read any type of book from any elite sports person, you're just kind of like looking for little, almost like one-liners or tap-ins that you can take for yourself while I'm still playing sport, or if I go to coach afterwards or whatever I do, you can still kind of relate back to. And I'd be forever underlining stuff or taking little snippets. But I think they're all very in a common theme. You know, you have to be intense, you have to be like stubborn, almost selfish.
I think that's going to show in a few of the books that we're going to be talking about.
Yeah.
Paul, what do you look for? As somebody who's written a number of brilliant sports books as well, but not as a writer, as a reader, what are you looking for?
I don't know whether I can differentiate the two, Matt, because it is my job now, and I read a lot of these books because it was my job. Ordinarily, I wouldn't have picked them up. I look at it a bit like the mechanic looks at a car. I lift up the bonnet, and I'm interested in the engine and the mechanics and how they're put together. So it's interesting because I don't know whether that actually influences or has influences the choices I've made for my sports book of the year and some of them I wouldn't have had on. But that's definitely how I look at them now. How they're put together, what they say, but more importantly, actually, or interestingly, what they don't say. I'm always interested in the bits they leave out. Yeah.
That you suspect that they've left out, or you know they've left
out? You know they've left out. You know, I mean, the holes are sometimes the holes are just huge.
When there's very little in the book, you kind of know that they've left. It's hard, and I can see why people don't. But it's also, like, I think it's really important to see how it's written. So there has to be good enough flow to it. Some people are much better than others.
He's one of those who's able to write a book that holds the attention.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, what is it? Okay, so I kind of wanted to feature a focus on the two big sports book awards, and that's the Air Sport Award here.
Yep.
And the William Hill in London. And we have a winner of the William Hill. We don't have a winner of the Air Sport. We have a shortlist of three books that we're going to talk about, I'm sure. But I'm just interested. I mean, I've never been a judge. You've been a judge on some of these.
Have you?
You've been a judge. Yeah, I'm always interested in the process of how you decide what the sports book of the year is. I'm undecided between the three Air Sport books of the year, the Irish sports books of the year. I'm undecided as to which of those I would choose. But I'm interested, Matt, in your input in how you, what are the criteria?
I knew this always happens to you whenever we bring Paul into the studio. I tell you, it's a good few years since I've done it, right? But I always wanted honesty, and I also wanted an authenticity in voice. And I remember one year shooting down a particular book which was heading for victory in the sports book of the year on the basis was that I didn't believe that it was the athlete giving her story, because the way it was written, I said, that's the ghost. And obviously an awful lot of sports books are ghosted, but a really good ghost has to do it in the authentic voice of the person.
See, that's interesting in itself, isn't it? In the voice. I remember working with a particular sportsman. I'm not going to mention him because I could get into trouble, but he was absolutely, he was paranoid. It has to be my voice. It has to be my voice. And I'm always interested in that argument. It has to be my voice. because I would always say, well, it has to be you. It has to be the essence of you. And surely then, by extension, it is your voice.
Yes.
Yeah. So, but there is a slight difference, I would say. For example, if it has to be your voice, well, there you go, pen, you write it. But you're not good enough to write this book.
Okay, but I'll tell you, the book that really did appeal to me this year, one of the books, and it's already been mentioned by Niamh, Philly McMahon's mm-hmm. book. And I've met Philly McMahon on a number of occasions. I interviewed him at length about the book. And the book struck me as being utterly authentic. That was Philly McMahon. That was his story. Yes, he had a ghostwriter with it, but at the same time,
you
the ghostwriter...
him saying it.
Right. Have you read the McMahon book?
Yeah.
And go on.
Yeah, I'm 100% agree with Matt. It was right. I sat down one morning to read it, and I didn't get up. I finished it in one sitting.
Right. And you've
I read it in two sittings. Yeah,
and you interviewed them, didn't you?
Yeah,
I was actually going to pretend that the one that was cancelled up in.
What happened was because of the hurricane, we were supposed to be doing a live interview and recording it for broadcast. We couldn't do it because of the hurricane, so he came into studio and we did the interview, which was a shorter interview probably than we would have done on stage. But I still felt that from the conversation that I had with him and previous conversations that I had with him, that the book authentically told his story.
Right. I'm not arguing with you, by the way. I'm just interested in your observations, because I've obviously read Philly's book, and it's won that Bord Gáis, that nonsense awards they had last week that are just a show and really reflect nothing. But he's up now for Sports Book of the Year now, the real awards, because they're judged by five people in the business, I think five or six in the business, who will actually go through them and read them properly. So it's not a populist vote. And he's been shortlisted now with Barry Ryan's The Ascent and Jackie Tyrrell, The Warrior's Code, which for me has been the front runner since the book season came out. Likewise, like you guys, I was really, really impressed with the McMahon book for a different reason.
Okay.
Okay, so the reason I was impressed with it is this is a story that, as Niamh points out, is not about football at all. But the best books aren't about sport, really. The best sports books are often about life, I find. That, you know,
they're about the people.
They're about the people and what they do. Now, for me, the genius of this McMahon book, very obviously, is the honesty of Philly himself and the story he has to tell. But I'll tell you, 9 ghostwriters out of 10 could have made a complete hames of that book. Mm. Complete hames. The structure of it and the way the story is told is absolutely brilliant. Niall Kelly has done an outstanding job.
And deserves to be acknowledged, because sometimes ghosts aren't acknowledged for the great
work. I don't know what publishers do. If you're a good subject for an autobiography who can't do it himself, you need to pay as much attention to the ghostwriter, because that's where it's going to stand. It'll stand or fail on the abilities and the dedication of the ghostwriter. Niall Kelly has done an outstanding job, because I don't know whether you agree with this, but he's playing with a limited set of cards here. But it's how he plays those cards. There's stuff he can't tell for, I think, delicate reasons, given Philly's background and his family circumstances. But he plays those cards outstandingly well. For example, so let's look at it. Let's look at the bonnet. Let's lift up the bonnet and look at the engine and how this thing is put together. So you've got 5 chapters, a prologue of 6 pages, first half 114 pages. Half-time of 36 pages, second half of 94 pages, epilogue of 3 pages. So again, the structure is different. It's not I was born, my first football, you know, which is the standard yawn type structure.
Yawn being the operative word.
Well, it can work sometimes, but it's lazy. It's a lazy way. So Niall, from the get-go, is not taking the lazy way out. He's not acknowledged. It's astonishing. There's no foreword, which I always find is a nonsense to this. There's no foreword to the book. He's not acknowledged it. There's no acknowledgements. Thanks to Niall Kelly for doing a great job. None of that. It's just, this is the story. So there's no ego at all here. But he does a brilliant job. And the example I will cite as to what a fantastic job he does is the big reveal. So the big reveal comes on page 16.
Oh, geez, now this is giving it away for all the people who are going to get the book for Christmas Day. So go on anyway.
I'm not. I'm going to make a very...
I think people know at this stage anyway.
So the big reveal, and I'll read the line. Before I became Philly McMahon, I was Philip Caffrey. but we can come back to that later. So you're on page 16. You read this thing. What's going on here? Well, you can't just leave that there. You've got to tell. I want to know. Well, why is he not? You know.
Yeah.
How was he Philip Caffrey before he was Philip Mann? What does that mean? And Niall is not telling us. He's got the cards. No. I'm keeping that.
And
that
we do
back.
Get there.
Yeah, we do. I think it's.
Were you surprised at that?
There was I was surprised at how powerful the language was in almost layman's terms, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
So you're reading it and you could picture any kid in Ballymun, Limerick and Ballinacore Weston picking this book up and reading it and being able to say, oh, like, that's like my life. Look what he can do.
There were surprises in it for me as well, though. Things like, I thought one of the most affecting scenes was at, you know, his brother's funeral, that there's drug dealers there who are trying to push drugs. I thought that was just the imagery of that.
Mm.
Also things that I didn't expect, like going for trial of Nottingham Forest and a story there without giving it away about Kit, which I thought was a great story to tell. But also the sense, and I think this is a thing for the GAA in particular, you almost got the sense, now, I think he was limited in what he could say about Dublin because of the fear that he might get bombed off the Dublin squad for giving away too much. But the love of the club, the big thing, was enormous in the book.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he kind of always sees that as a little bit of a saviour, that, you know, they had done so much for him to get him off the streets. He states in it that he could have gone down the same road as his brother.
Yeah, see, that for me is the core of it. Two brothers brought up in the same house who make different choices and who end up in very different places.
Which is why it's called The Choice.
And
which is why
it's called The Choice. If I was 10 years older, would I have gone down the same road as my brother? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, so here's, for me, is the most interesting thing. The most interesting thing I found about it was his brother John. Because right through it, you're reading with a jaundiced eye. I mean, I don't know what recently there was something on the news about, or some reference to druggies. Oh, these druggies. Look at these druggies. We don't think of them as people.
Yeah.
We don't understand how they're made or why they made the choices they made. And the power of this book is the light that Philly shines on his brother John. And for a lot of it, and this comes back to the big reveal and who he is. I mean, they've got a different father. So John was John Caffrey. Yeah. He was his mother's son. And Philip, obviously, is a different father. But they've brought up in the same house, in the same area. But they've obviously lived very different lives. And you look, even right through, you're looking at John, he's a messer, bloody idiot.
Yeah,
you know, he's a messer. Like, yeah. Messer, bloody messer. Yeah, look, you know, bloody messers. Idiot. And then we come to his grandmother's funeral. This is incredible. So his grandmother, who is his biological father's mum, dies. And John goes up to the funeral, right? And they're getting into there's a funeral car ordered. And the father's in the car. And John goes to get into the car with his biological father. And the father says, no place for you here. Now think how devastating.
Yeah.
Think how devastating that was.
It's an incredible book. Yeah. So that would be my choice. Because we won't spend the whole time talking about it. Let's stay with GA books. You also read Jackie Tyrrell's book, The Warrior's Code, which has already been mentioned by Paul, but you weren't enormously enthused by it.
No, it's not that I know Jackie really well. I've done a couple of things with him.
Well, you're off his Christmas card list now.
smashing guy. I just never realised, A, how intense he was, to borderline to like something that I thought I was intense and stubborn. This was something that I'd never experienced when I was reading it. And then as a Waterford person still trying to reach One All Ireland, he is so annoyed that he didn't get a chance to win 10. That drove me insane. But look, it's very well written. There's no doubt about that. And his story, I was surprised at some of the stuff that came out of it because...
But stealing the car in Cork was an incredible story.
Like, I was surprised at so much that came out of it because normally Kilkenny would be a bit like Dublin. They're very close-knit. There's not many stories that come out of those two camps.
Yeah, but actually, all these Kilkenny players who've retired are really showing another side of themselves that we never expected.
Not all of them.
Some of them have great characters.
So on that sense, I did think it was... Like, it was an interesting read. I read it and I was... couldn't finish it. I was just surprised at how intense and conceptual.
Briefly from you, because I need to take a break, Paul. Yeah. What was your view of Jackie Tyrrell's book?
I would disagree profoundly with Niamh. I think it's outstanding. It's outstanding because you can imagine the amount of Kilkenny people this is going to upset. Number one, Brian Cody. For the first time, we've lifted the veil on the Kilkenny dressing room and we've learned stuff about Cody nobody's ever learned before. And that intensity you talk about, Niamh, is what makes this book is raw. This book is raw. This is I read Henry Shefflin and I just put it down to 10 pages that life is too short for this. Now here's another guy.
Not, Paul, I'm not screen that it's not it's a good book.
Yeah, I probably just framed it wrong to you, but
yeah, no, I did, I enjoyed it. I just couldn't get over how how intense, like his
maybe
poor girlfriend couldn't
Kilkenny
even have chocolate
Waterford
in the house.
Yeah. Maybe that's why Kilkenny
100%. And the fact that Waterford haven't won one and he's given out about not winning 10.
But see, that mindset in itself, I think
it's
obsession.
I know that.
His obsession is brilliant. I love the craziness of his obsession. And again, great credit to Christy O'Connor, his ghostwriter here.
Who's another superb journalist.
It isn't by chance. It isn't by chance that this is the second year in a row Christy's going to be shortlisted for this award. He, in my view, should have won it last year with McCarran, Cal McCarran, a book that nobody, liked.
Book, yeah.
Nobody liked because I didn't like McCarran. Well, hold on a second. It's not Bambi. It's not Bambi. You know, if you want to buy a book, you're like, go and buy Bambi. This is a book that told real harsh truths and was very unflattering in a lot of it to McCarran. But that was the power of it in my view.
What about the other GA books, Niamh? Just take two, the JO book, the Jason Sherlock autobiography, and the Gooch, the autobiography by Colm Cooper. What did you make of them?
Yeah, it was I'm a little bit disappointed in both of them, to be honest. Only because I read them after both the Philly McMahon and Jackie Tyrrell. They were just so far
superior. They suffered by comparison.
Yeah. I was a huge fan of Jason Sherlock growing up. He's probably the first sports star, you know, from the GA era, and probably never fulfilled his promise. And I was really interested to see him back and how, you know, Jim Gavin's like squad, but then you don't really know much about it because he's still in there and he can't really the lid and that. And then Gooch's,
well, he can but he won't.
Yeah, well, true. Gooch's, yeah, it was okay. Yeah,
solid.
It was, he, yeah, it just didn't do enough for me, to be honest with you. And like, I obviously he's one of the best footballers of the generation, but yeah, I was just in comparison to the other two, that was all.
They're not in your list, I take it, Paul,
well,
are they?
Just a general point, Matt. So the Air Sport Award, 22 books short or long listed for this. And without question, this is the best year for sports book that I can remember in Ireland. And the long list is, Jesus, I mean, some of them that didn't get on it. I've picked out four. Farm, my autobiography by Kieran Fallon, which had the potential to be, by some distance, has the potential to be the greatest book ever written about any sportsman. I mean, the potential of that book is, and the nuts and bolts of that are a story in itself. That didn't make it. The Pursuit of Perfection, Cormac McAnallan, brilliantly written, didn't make it.
A very moving story as well, yeah.
When Lions Roar, The Lions and the All Blacks and the Legendary Tour of 1971, Tom English and Peter Burns, which coincidentally also made the long list of the William Hill in England. That didn't make it. And Boy Wonder, the Dave Hannigan childhood memoir, didn't make it. Now, when those four books can't make a shortlist for a sports book, that gives you a sense of how strong.
I was fascinated, Niamh, that you had Boy Wonder there. Now, it really appealed to me because it actually was the Cork that I grew up in. So, and I've said this to Dave, Dave is 5 years younger than me, but there's actually no real difference between the Shoot magazines and all the places that he grew up in. But I can understand how it appealed to my sense of nostalgia. How did it appeal to you?
It wasn't that, like, as in, I would love to if it was the next generation up. So he talks about the late 70s, early 80s. I would love if it was late 80s, early 90s, because then I would have been able to get it more. But I loved the fact that, you know yourself, the minute Wimbledon comes on, everybody's outside becoming Rafael Nadal or Roger Federer. The next time it's a World Cup and they're Messi, and it was that drew it to me, and it was something so different than any of the other books that we'd read. I actually really enjoyed it as well. I thought it was an excellent read. I thought it was really good.
What did you think of it, Paul?
Yeah, look, Dave again, we're going back to pedigree of the writer. Dave has written some brilliant books. His book last year about Muhammad Ali and Trevor Berbick was an astonishing piece of work. So again, the point I'm making is the power, the strength of this list. I mean, it's a brilliant, brilliant list this year. A lot of solid books. The JO book, solid. Yeah, Gooch, solid. They probably would have made a shortlist in other years, but the power of this list is brilliant. So let's get back to the third book on the shortlist,
which
Barry
is
Barry Ryan's The Ascent.
And we actually had Barry on the programme recently talking about this book.
Yeah.
Now, given that you feature in the book, that you know everything about the era,
I can't wait to read it now.
What did you make of it?
I thought he did a brilliant job. My wife gave me a bollocking for the language in it, and all of it is mine.
Are you trying to tell me she was surprised?
She probably was, actually. Even by my standards, it was a bit strong. But that's because I'm passionate about the subject, and I spoke personally about it, and I take full responsibility for what I did, and I'm not proud of that. But it's a brilliant story, and it is of the three books. This is the journalist book, because he's interviewed about 50 people. I think he's probably taken about 3 or 4 years to do it. So he's put real work into it, real craft. And what I really admire about it is that he didn't balk at the hard choices. This has been true about 7 different lawyers before it made it into the covers. And that to me is worth an Oscar in itself. And he didn't balk at the hard stuff that was there to be written about. And he wrote about it, and he did a great job, a really great job. You know, again, because it's so personal to me.
You're likely to be more critical of that, given that you know the story. That's great praise.
I am indeed. And I just felt, when I put it down, I just felt he'd done an absolutely brilliant job, Barry.
But that interests you. You haven't read that one yet, Niamh, have
you?
No,
I haven't. That is one of my Christmas books. So I get a couple of books for Christmas, and that's been a part of it, yeah.
Indeed, when Paul dragged out a whole load of books, which he's put on the table here, but your eyes lit up when you saw one of the books that I know you want to talk about, Paul. It's one that you want to get, I think.
Yeah, that's
well.
Coming. Yeah, too. So Game Changer, it's supposed to be brilliant. And
Game Changer is by who?
Fergus Connolly.
Yeah,
sports. It's about sports science and stuff.
Yeah, you wrote a big feature in the Sunday Independent this year interview.
So Fergus is a performance coach at Michigan in the US, the college football team. And I went to see him in May, and before this had been published, and he spoke about it.
It was from that interview that
they got your interest in it. Yeah, well, so he was hugely. So Fergus spent, I think, 2 years at the heart of the Dublin football team, and he's been all over the world learning about the business of coaching and the science of coaching. And he was hugely critical of Mayo, actually, during that interview, and it caused a lot of ripples. But he is truly, truly brilliant at what he does. And I bought the book, actually, in LA recently, because it's not actually available in the shops here. It costs about $60. But if you're interested in coaching and the business of performance in sport, it is an absolute must read. It is brilliantly put together, and it comes with all of the detail and attention to detail that anyone who knows Fergus would expect from him.
And what are you expecting out of that now?
Yeah, something similar. It's just that interview that you wrote about him had me glued to it. And then I found myself looking up other articles about him, only because I hadn't realised he was with Dublin. And those kind of people are like...
Spend a lot of time at rugby. Is it Wales? Yeah.
Are very few and far between.
Yeah.
Kind of like a Donny Buckley type of a person that had these brilliant ideas, these coaching where they can just coach it on a different level.
Are you into the psychology of sport? I mean, is that when you get to a certain level in sport? I mean, is that what you're looking for? Is almost as much as a coach, you're looking for a psychologist?
A bit of both, I think. But for me, I'm just interested in good coaching practices about trying to get the best out of players, both individually and then how to group them together. And I think he really does that.
You won't be disappointed. Yeah. Actually, if there's any Mayo people out there who know Stephen Rochford, who would like to give him a good Christmas present, give him that. Give him that. Right? Okay, give him that.
Is that going to turn Mayo to an Ireland winners next year?
I wouldn't bet against it. That's how good he is. He's really, he is top class. It's a great book.
Okay, what other ones do you have? Because I think we've gone through most of Niamh's ones here as well, but I'm interested in Niamh's views and what you have to say about other books.
Okay, so I've got two anthologies and the winner of the William Hill Award in Britain, which is, of course, the mega sports book award. $30,000 to the winner of the William Hill every year. It's a huge prize. And it has a really interesting shortlist. And of all the books that I expected on the shortlist, there were 7 books on the shortlist. Some really, really brilliant ones. A very good Muhammad Ali book. A brilliant Amy Rowe book on Declan Murphy, the Irish jockey.
That's a super book.
That's a brilliant book.
That's a fantastic story. Declan Murphy, the jockey, 4 years of his life where he just can't remember because of the injuries that he received in a fall. Shouldn't have survived, really. Did survive. Couldn't remember 4 years and went back and rode again.
Oh.
Before he retired. An extraordinary story.
Outstandingly well written as well.
Yeah.
So this Tom Simpson book, The Winner, Board on the Wire, I would not have picked this as the winner. I don't think anybody would, because there you go, Matt. Pick it up. What's the first thing you notice about it? Open it up there. Look at the size of it. It's a coffee table book. It's a coffee table book, exactly. And for a William Hill sports winner to be essentially a coffee table book is unusual in itself. Very unusual. Not, I would suspect... I mean, it's 50 years since Simpson died. And I think
he died during the Tour de France, didn't he?
1967 up Mont Ventoux. Yeah, he collapsed on Mont Ventoux. There's a memorial there to him. And there's always been this kind of one kind of view of his life, or his life has always been viewed through the prism of the guy who died on Mont Ventoux. What Andy McGrath does with this book is he gives it a much fuller picture, explains who he was, where he come from, what he won. But it's the pictures really that are extraordinary.
Just it's actually a great Christmas present.
It is a great Christmas. Now listen, it's not cheap. It's €48. So you're going to have to love the person you give it to, obviously. But I think it's not the sports book of the year for me, but it's
what would you have been your William Hill sports book of the year?
I think I would have probably gone for the Declan Murphy book or the Ali book, or there's a great biography.
The Ali book is excellent as well.
Or the biography of Bob Paisley. So, you know, it's always a very eclectic list. I'm not sure about this choice at all, but look, I don't want to take away from it. It's beautifully, beautifully put together. But essentially, I think a coffee table book.
The 42.ie, some of its best columns from the year were in Behind the Lines. Cracking book, some stories you would not expect to get.
Well, there's two. Neve, you actually feature in this.
Now you have to read it.
Now you have to get it, yeah. I'll just dig out.
Does she come out well out of it though, Paul?
She does. Calm, cool, ruthless, ballistic. Beating the Black Ferns and the Cornerstone of a Legacy by Sean Farrell. I don't know if you remember that. That would have gone up online.
Previous to the World Cup, that I thought I was going to play in. Yeah. So it was all about the World Cup, in fairness. But
you're in there, and your lawyer has nothing to be worried about. It's all good about you. So you don't need to see it. But this is a smashing book.
In fairness, they have brilliant journalists working for the 42. Their articles, every week they publish something that's really, really good across their whole board, I think, and so that's definitely has to be a good book.
Well, what I love about them is they're an online operation, obviously, but here they are coming into print, coming into our world, and they've done that. It's
all merging, Paul. It's all merging.
Tell me about it. But it's a lovely book, and the standout piece is Gavin Casey's piece about the white boy. Where is it? Yeah, the toughest white boy ever to step in the ring, Floyd Mayweather, which they brought out just before McGregor went to fight Mayweather. It was a brilliant piece.
It was a very, very good piece.
A brilliant piece. And look, full credit to the 42 for heralding their journalism and for holding up these young sports writers so we can all have a closer look at them. And it's great. I think it's a really, really worthy piece of work. The other anthology I have is there it is. Thanks, Niamh. Yeah. The Best American Sports Writing. Which is a series that has run since 1991. I have every single one of these. If you like sports writing, and if you like the best in sports writing, you'll be very familiar with this collection.
The one thing I will say about sometimes American sports writing, and it has happened a little bit in Irish sports writing in the last decade or two, sometimes they disappear up their own backsides and trying to be too clever in what they write.
I don't disagree. That's we're all prone to that, Matt. Except you, obviously.
I don't write about sport, Paul.
But I'll tell you what, if you want to buy this year's book, the 2017 one, it's about €15, I think. Read one piece out of it, and you're probably this might have been the guy you had in mind when you were making that observation, Matt. There's a piece here about Muhammad Ali. It is the best piece of sports writing I have ever read. Wright Thompson on Muhammad Ali, The Secret History of Tiger Woods. Now, Wright Thompson wrote a piece earlier this year about McGregor. He came to Dublin. They got a lot of criticism about that. This piece about Tiger...
He's the guy who wrote that nonsense.
In hindsight, hold on a second. When you see what's been
going on the last few weeks.
Absolutely. It's not so much nonsense now. When the Kinahans are certainly, you know...
We'll stay clear of that. Listen.
This piece about Tiger Woods is the best piece of sports writing I have ever read. Astonishing piece of work.
Niamh Riggs has been taking notes all the time about all the books she wants to read now. But we are going to put this all up online, so you'll be able to go and get the references.
Have you ambitions
there as well.
Now? I tell you what, let's ask Niamh, and this is a valid question. I think, where are the books about women and women in sport? Why are there so few? And have you any ambitions
Have I ambitions? Absolutely not.
Well, why not?
But in terms of the women's books, yeah, it's very interesting. I know Mary White wrote a very good one in Relentless.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And that was brilliant. That actually sold out. You can't even get it anymore. You have to buy it online. And that's really good. But I think women's sport is just, it's slowly changing now. So I think in 10, 15 years, you'll have books by women's sport athletes, as opposed to now. I don't know if there's enough role models out there at the moment.
I think Cora Staunton would make a great book in time, particularly when she comes back from Australia. I mean, that's a remarkable story at the age of 35 to go play professional sport in Australia.
100%, yeah. Oh, there's loads of little, like, you know, Rena Buckley, how she plays dual codes and manages her own physio practice. Breed Corky, how she milks a million cows before she goes training. Like, they're all really good stories.
The greatest Irish sports book that has never been written is about a woman. We're never going to read it. And it could be and would be the greatest Irish sports book of all time.
I think I know who you're talking about.
Go on, tell us.
Swimmer.
Michelle, yeah, I got it.
Ah, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
There you go. That is, without question, the one that's out there.
Paul Kimmage, thank you very much for joining us. And Niamh Briggs, great having you along as well.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.